Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I'm Greg Lancaster. Joining us today is Pat Hamilton.
Hello, hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello, hello.
We want the wisdom of God. Really, what you're looking at in America right now, and what you're looking at a lot in a lot of the church is there's a lot of knowledge, there's a lot of teachers, you know, but the wisdom comes with, you know, fathers, you know, have wisdom, you know, those, you know, fathers in the Lord, and that you get it from the Word of God, spending time with God. Of all the things that Solomon could have asked for when he was chosen as David's son, as the third king of Israel, the third.
He was the third.
And was, give me wisdom on how to lead your people. And I encourage everyone that's listening, that's whether you're in a business, a Christian business owner, whether you're a father or a mother that's leading a family, you know, whether you are leading a congregation or a fellowship or a gathering of believers, you know, kind of knock everything off your list right now and cry out for wisdom. We need wisdom. We're about to lose this puppy. You know, and if we lose this freedom, you know, we're going into bondage. We're going into captivity. Church is going to live. It's going to thrive. Matter of fact, it'll thrive. and we always said, whatever it takes to win the lost. But it sure would be a waste that we have to be in a time of suffrage and bondage. That Ananias and Sapphira has to fall out before the fear of the Lord spreads.
Right.
And many people are won to the Lord. Isn't that amazing?
It is.
Ask for the wisdom and the fear of the Lord. So we talk about it every single day. And today is the 19th of the month. So we look at the 19th chapter of Proverbs, and it's 19:21. And what I'm going to talk about is the creator of the universe, Father God, he's pro-choice. He is pro-choice. Not pro-choice like people today are talking about pro-choice. But he's into you choosing. He does not choose for us. He always lays before us options. And so the proverb for today is Proverbs 19:21. Many are the plans in a man's heart, but it's the Lord's purposes that prevail. Let me say it again. Many are the plans in a man's heart, but it's the Lord's purposes that prevail. I mean, think about it. God has given each of us freedom, but it's freedom to choose. It's freedom to choose. You know, actually, God is pro-choice, not in the sense, you know, of course, that we're talking about in America here, people talking about pro-choice means actually I can choose to take your life. That's not pro-choice. That baby didn't have a choice. That's not
right.
You know, but God is obviously allowing you to choose to take that child's life. But pro-choice for each of us, his goal was to have pro-choice for each of us. His design is, not his goal, is for each of us to decide what we're going to do with this life that he's given us. What are we going to do with this life? What choices are we going to make in regards to us choosing to have a relationship with him through his son, Jesus Christ? And when you think about it, for us who actually choose God through his son, Jesus Christ, it's a choice that we make. We're making a choice.
Right.
I mean, nobody's, it's not forced upon. God does not force us to choose him. You know, when you see men, when they're religions, you'll see what they'll do. They're man-made religions, and they're perceived gods, and it's all about forcing people to be in compliance, and there's no choice.
Right.
You know, there's no choice. This is how it is. And we serve a God that says, you know, I put before you blessings and cursings. I put before you life and death. You choose. You know, in the sin nature, the flesh nature of us, you know, our flesh nature will just say, just make the choice for us. But then there's no relationship there. The relationship is when you choose every single day that you get up and you abide with God and you choose to follow him, you're making a choice to follow him. And that's a choice. He is pro-choice. He wants you, he wants to see what you're going to do. Though he allows for circumstances to help give us contrast, if you would, between the choices to help us make a better choice, he will not make the choice for us.
Right.
When you think about it, I mean, he will allow things. You'll consider hardship as discipline. God is treating you as a son. For what son is not disciplined? What son does not go through hardship? Yet, though God allows these hardships to come upon people or person or us, the hardship at some point is to be able to motivate us to decide what we're going to do. We need to make a choice. And so many people are thinking that God's going to make the choice for them, and they're sitting back waiting on God. He's like, no.
Mm-hmm.
He's waiting for you. What choice are you going to make? I mean, think about it. When God placed Adam and Eve in the garden, he also placed, the tree of knowledge of good and evil and the tree of life. God told them, don't eat from the tree of knowledge and good and evil. Mm-hmm. But he left the choice.
All right.
You know what I'm saying? It's like, oh, Lord, please don't give me choices. I'm not always good with choices. I mean, Romans 17, you know, Paul's talking about, you said, when there's a choice before me and I make a good, and my intentions are to choose the good thing. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? He says, I end up choosing the wrong thing. What's wrong? Oh, wretched man that I am.
Yeah,
and he talks about all that. He says, I find out the sense, you know. And so, but the whole thing is that, you know, he's going to wait and see what we're going to do. He waited to see what Adam and Eve were going to do in the garden, because every day they didn't choose to eat from the knowledge of good and evil, the tree mm-hmm. of that. They chose to have a relationship with him.
Right.
But he left the choice to them. Mm-hmm. He left a choice to them. Of course, they chose to eat from the tree of knowledge and good and evil. But yet God's purposes were prevail today, because even though all men sin by their fall in the garden, you know, every man failed and the original sin was there so that sin could be utterly sinful. But by the time that he brings his son, Jesus, and we'll talk more about that in a moment, that there was a clear choice. There was a clear choice, you know, the world or God.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was very clear. So his purposes prevailed. Or even think about this. When Cain was so jealously angry with his brother Abel, you know, he wanted to kill him. And God didn't whack Cain. You know, some people think, you know, God's going to just whack somebody.
Mm-hmm.
He's not going to do that.
Right.
He just told him, say, hey, Cain, you got sin hanging outside your door.
Right.
Why are you looking so sad? Why don't you do what's right? Right?
Yeah, again.
Why don't you do what's right? And so Cain thought, I got a choice. Am I going to do what's right, or am I going to kill my brother?
Right.
And he chose. He made a choice, didn't he?
He sure did.
He killed his brother, but he made a choice. God left that choice with him. You know, I'm sure Abel, if he was in the meeting, would thought, like, God,
hello,
you know, my brother, he's going to kill me.
Right.
And God's going to say, but my purposes are going to prevail still, because your blood will cry out until the time that I come back. And he says, the Abel's blood cries out from the soil today.
Mm.
And all the bloodshed that's happened, every baby that was killed, every murder that was done, you know, every murder that was done, that blood cries out. You know, and that's why we went, by the way, and prayed over murder scenes mm-hmm. where blood was spilt. And for that reason. And so God's purposes prevail because his blood still cries out. Or when God called Noah, think about it. He called Noah to tell the people on the earth for 125 years,
mm-hmm.
you know, and every day for 125 years, he said, I have a multiple choice test for you.
Mm-hmm.
It's either yes or no. And he would preach the yes and no, and he'd wait for their answer. I mean, for 125 years, he said, there's a choice, because and God was allowing, you know, everyone, including Noah and his family, to decide if they were going to follow God's way or not. What were they going to choose? And they continued to walk in evil. Their minds were their minds and their heart were on evil 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But he gave them the choice. For 125 years, he gave them a choice. When they were outside the ark, they chose to be outside the ark. But Noah chose to be inside the ark.
Mm-hmm.
This is so important, because God is pro-choice. He's waiting for you to choose. He's not going to choose for you. He may encourage you with a little calamity, may lose a little few things.
All right.
You may go through a time of suffering because of your choices, but he's saying to you this. He says, I don't want eternal damnation for you. I don't want you to end up separate from me. Mm-hmm. I want you to be in relationship with me forever.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you think about that. So, but he still allowed everybody to make the decision. So God's purposes prevailed, as he wanted to purge the earth of those who had their minds and hearts set on evil 24 hours a day. And everybody that chose to go with the evil way, his purposes prevailed, because he wanted to start again.
Mm-hmm.
And he started again with Noah. That was his purposes prevailed. People say, I don't know if I'm from Adam and Eve, but think about it. You're definitely from Adam and Eve. But then again, now you're from Noah and his family, right? Because everybody died at the time of the flood.
That's right.
So hard thing about even God, when God chose Abram or Abraham, it wasn't a guarantee. It was not a guarantee that God's promises were going to come to pass in his life. It was an option for him. Get thee up and go and I'll show you. Mm-hmm. You know, but God still waited to see if Abraham would believe him, have faith in him, would fear him only, you know what I'm saying? And Abraham did all of these. But most of all, on Mount Moriah, he went there and he was willing to sacrifice the promise. Mm-hmm. He was willing to give up his son, to sacrifice his son. And it was there that God said, you've made a good choice.
Right.
Don't kill the lad. I'll provide for you a sacrifice. But he waited to see if Abraham, what choice he was going to make.
Mm-hmm.
What choice he was going to make. There's so many people sitting back just thinking the choices have been made already. But you're going to be held accountable not only for the choices that you made, but you're going to be held accountable for every word that you say.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
Judged or acquitted based on you know. And so he made that choice then, and this is what God said. God said what he said in the beginning. He goes, now I see you fear me. Now I'll give you everything I said I'll give you. Most people go, what? I thought I had it all along.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, no, you had choices to make along the way, and you did well. He's the father of faith. He made the choices trusting in God. And it's pretty cool because, you know, God is known as God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel.
Mm-hmm.
Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And Jacob's other name after wrestling with God was
Israel.
And so today Israel's around because what was God's purposes and why did they prevail? Because he wanted a chosen people. He chose Abraham and he worked through Abraham for his purposes to prevail. And today we're looking at Benjamin Netanyahu, the prime minister of Israel. Why? Because God's purposes prevailed because Abraham made the right choices by faith. So somebody had to make choices all along the way. I mean, when God chose the very first king of Israel,
mm-hmm.
you know, quite often that's why we're talking about this is because, you know, when people read that proverb, they think, oh, you know, it doesn't matter what I say or what I do. It's just going to go God's way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whatever will be, mm-hmm. That's not necessarily true. I mean, God's purposes will prevail, but if you make a wrong choice, you won't be a part of his prevailing
right.
purposes. You know what I'm saying? So when God chose Saul, the very first king of Israel, he told Saul what was expected of him. And let Saul decide if he was going to follow God and his ways. I mean, he gave him the leadership of God's people. And he said, okay, decide. Make some choices here, right?
Mm-hmm.
So God's sitting here leaning over the banister of heaven. Just kind of imagine that.
Mm-hmm.
And he's watching you. He's watching Saul. Mm-hmm. What's he going to do? What choices are going to make? And God watched King Saul to see what he would do. And King Saul decided not to follow God's way and took matters into his own hands.
Mm-hmm.
This is what God regretted the day. Think about it. He regretted the day, he said, that he ever made Saul king mm-hmm. because he failed to seek him and to go after him and do things his way. But his purposes prevailed because he looked and found a man after his own heart, and his purpose wasn't Saul. His purpose was a people to be able to be protected, and that man was David, and he raised up King David, a man after his own heart, and brought him back, and David made the right choices, even though he chose not to lay his hands on God's anointing. He chose to be faithful to the Father. He chose to confront the uncircumcised Philistines and the things that, I mean, he made all the right choices, even though he wasn't perfect. He knew, and he sought the Lord, and he chose good things, and now from his lineage, the prevailing purposes of God, which is Jesus Christ, came from the lineage of David. Listen, you're going to have to make some choices. Today's wisdom, we're talking about, if you don't choose, you know, if you don't make a choice, it's not going to just happen. You're going to have to choose today who you're going to serve.
Right.
We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Can teachers lawfully promote a particular religion in public school? This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
You know, I'm concerned about the powers that be when they say that we can't talk about Jesus in the schools. How come the Constitution uses the expression in the year of our Lord and we're denied that ability? Teachers themselves should be able to promote Jesus in the schools because of the Constitution.
You know, the Supreme Court has drawn a distinction between the kind of what we would call state action, which is the teacher speaking, versus the students. The students clearly have the right to have Bible studies, prayer meetings, share their faith, evangelize, the events like See You at the Poll. That can take place without any constitutional problem. The difficulty is for teachers. The teacher is deemed under existing Supreme Court law to be the actor of the state. They cannot evangelize, or what they call proselytize, their faith without running afoul of the Constitution.
Stand with us and join the American Center for Law and Justice at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org.
If you haven't yet gone to the front of VFNTV.com, and it is a big link right there in the middle that says visit our sponsors. I want you to go there and just, you see them, you go there, click on visit our sponsors, and you'll see them, and they just continue coming in. We just thank God for our sponsors and our partners. And our partners are those who partner with us prayerfully and financially every single month, giving a financial gift. And our sponsors and underwriters are those businesses and ministries who stand up and say, listen, we too want to stand up for God and country in that order and for Israel. And you can see them all. And it's there for a reason. It's there so you can know, you know what? If I need a particular product or a particular service, and I want to stand with those who are standing up for country, God and country, and Israel, I'm going to go to VFNTV.com, and I'm going to see, is there a sponsor there right now? And if you provide a business or a service and you're not up, you need to do it. You need to say, hey, I want to be one of the ones that people come to. I want them to know when you buy our service, when you buy our product, you are saying, I stand with VFN-TV and the daily radio program because I truly want to be able to keep the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, which is a command from God for us. And the hope for America is the light of God's word, the light of truth. And we're standing together. So you can go to VFNTV.com, click on visit our sponsors, and you can see firsthand, not only that, but maps on how to get to them and so much other. Thank you to our sponsors. Thank you to our partners. And God bless.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. Let's pick up where we left off.
But think about it. Father God gave Jesus Christ, his son, a choice to follow him. He had to choose a choice to follow him or not, to be the sacrifice for all sins or not. And then he waited to see what he was going to do. Jesus, although he was all man and all God, he made a choice not to exercise any of his God qualities in regards to calling down legions of angels, and he would just wait for the Father to give him the unction, to give him the unction to be able to do what he wanted to do. He followed the Father. Mm-hmm. And so in that, God just watched. Father God just watched him and see what he was going to do. But yet God's purposes prevailed. Jesus was tempted in every way, yet he chose not to sin. He chose not to sin. It wasn't like a given. I mean, he chose not to sin because he would loud, even though he was a son, he learned obedience from what he suffered. With loud cries and petitions, he cried out to the one who could save him from himself, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so he's making choices. I'm going to turn to the Father. I need help. I'm being tempted. These things are going on. He was tempted in every way, but every time he was tempted, unlike us, you know, unlike us, he said no.
All right.
He made a choice to live a sinless life. And when he could have sinned, he chose not to sin. He made a choice to follow the Father instead and follow his ways. Even the point where he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, and a huge choice, the final choice was laid before him that was going to change the life as we know it, eternity as we know it, the ability to have a relationship with the creator of the universe or not. He sat there and he sweated drops of blood because there was a choice before him. And the prevailing purposes of God were weighing in the balance. And the question was, Would Jesus be a part? Would he make a choice to be a part of the prevailing purposes of God? Would he obey the Father? And he expressed the choice. He said, I would not have to have the choice of drinking this cup of crucifixion and dying. But then he said, you know what? I know what you want. Mm-hmm. So not my choice, but your choice be done, mm-hmm. right? Not my will, but your will be done. He chose the will of the Father, the will of God over his own will. That's called the perfect, that's sacrificial life. When you live, when you choose every day to say, I'm not going to be in that wrong relationship. I'm not going to go to that sin anymore. I'm going to turn to the cross. I'm not going to gossip. I'm not going to slander. I'm not going to go the ways of the world. I'm not going to buy into the false doctrines that are just rampant today. You are worshiping God. You're choosing to worship him. And God's prevailing purposes, because Jesus chose this right way, the God's way, that God's purposes prevailed through Jesus, because he became the righteous sacrifice, making Jesus the only way. I mean, there wouldn't have been a way. Imagine trying to get to a location, but there's no way to get there.
Right.
There's no doors on the room. There's no doors on the house.
Mm-mm.
You know what I'm saying? There's no gate on the fence. You can't get in. I mean, heaven would be horrific if there was no gate to get in heaven.
Right.
You know? Mm-hmm. And Jesus was that gate. If that wouldn't happen, we'd be knocking on the wall. We wouldn't be there at all.
Mm-mm.
So when it came time for Jesus to be arrested, I'm talking about God's pro-choice. We're talking about his prevailing purposes. We have to understand this, because right now, the church across the world, but definitely the American church, we have a choice to make. We can choose religion. We can choose tradition and just say, whatever will be, and believe me, it won't be good.
Mm-hmm.
Or we can choose to follow God. We can make the everyday choices as we abide with him. Because when it came time for Jesus to be arrested and take this journey to the cross to take on the sins of man, when they arrested him, he chose not to call down legions of angels to stop the arrest and defend. He could have just said, stop,
mm-hmm.
freeze.
Yeah.
But he chose not to. They took him before the high priest and they lied about it. They lied about God. I mean, you're caring all about people lying about you? Get used to it. If they call Jesus Satan, you can choose to follow God even when they're calling you Satan. They took him before the high priest and they lied about him, yet he chose to say nothing in his defense, choosing to entrust his justice, the justice that would be due him, to the Father. He didn't even defend himself.
All right.
Every day you have a choice to say, are you going to defend yourself? The second you start defending yourself, you already bit the bait, and it ain't going to be good.
Right.
That's the whole thing. The enemy just wants to get you in a fight.
Mm-hmm.
But if they're coming to you to fight you, that means they already know they've lost. So it's like, well, you're here anyway, right? And so, but he chose to say nothing. They punched Jesus in the face. They spit on him, and they took his clothes and gambled over, but he chose to remain silent like a sheep. Listen, like a sheep going to the slaughter. And God's purposes prevailed because he made those choices and he became the Lamb of God.
Mm.
He was like a lamb going to the slaughter who offered up not one defense. And he became, because he chose to lay down his life, he became the Lamb of God which takes away the sin of the world.
Wow.
These are choices.
Mm-hmm.
They whipped him till his flesh was split. How could this be God's prevailing purposes? And he chose to take every beating. And God's prevailing purposes came to pass. What? By his stripes we were healed.
All right.
You know, if you don't go through something, if you don't follow God through something, you'll never be a source for the next generation. You're going to have to wake up. God's prevailing purposes, yes, are going to prevail, but you have to make a choice whether you're going to be a part of it or not. Many are the plans in a man's heart, but it's God's purposes that prevail. Get in the purposes of God. He's got a plan to redeem mankind. He's looking for those who will stand in the gap to raise up and say, here I am. Because once Jesus went through the time of learning obedience through what he suffered, he became a source for eternal life. God's looking for people who will become a source under his son, Jesus Christ, who will lead other people to his voice. They pressed a crown of thorns in his head, laid him on a wooden cross, and nailed each hand and his feet to the cross. And then they stood the cross up and crucified him publicly before the world. He chose to be the sacrifice for sin. He made the choice. And when he was hanging on the cross, taking his last breath in this season that he was being crucified, he chose to forgive the ones who were nailing him to the cross and who betrayed him. He said, "Father, forgive them." He chose that.
Mm-hmm.
"For they know not what they do."
Amazing.
What choices are you making today? What choices are you making? God's purposes prevailed, for it was his sacrifice that made it possible for our sins to be forgiven and for us to be in relationship with God if we choose what Jesus did for us. But we have to choose again.
That's right.
And as Jesus, upon his death on the cross, went to the depths of hell,
mm-hmm.
he chose to go to the depths of hell. And he took back the keys to death, hell, and the grave.
That's right.
But he never could have done that choice if he wouldn't have made the choice to go to the cross.
Mm-hmm.
And so many people are trying to get victory over death, hell, and the grave, but they won't deny themselves.
Right.
They won't make a choice to deny themselves. So that we could spend eternity with the Father forever. The choices that Jesus made allows us to make a choice for Jesus today. Today, right now, the Father has given you a choice. He is a pro-choice God, not like this world. I'm talking about he wants you to make a choice. And you've been given the ability to make a choice, just like Adam and Eve. The choice he places before you is simple, but it's yours to make. He has placed before you the ability to choose life or death, heaven or hell, forgiveness of all your sin, or eternal consequences for not confessing them. Just like he has, since the day of his creation, has given us an ability to make a choice and waits for us to do it, he will not make the choice for you.
Right.
He will not. I don't care how rough your circumstances and what you're going through. You need to ask the question, is there something I'm supposed to be deciding in this? Is there a choice I'm supposed to be making?
Right.
I want to be in the prevailing purposes of God. I don't want to. Many are the plans that a man's heart, but it's your plans that prevail, Father. Mm-hmm. So do I need to make a different choice here? I mean, there's not, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Ask the question.
Yeah.
America, you're falling to your knees. There's holes in the ship. The ship is going down. There's a good question to ask God right now. Am I making the right choices? Because it will live or it will die as we know it, based on the choice that you make as the church.
Mm-hmm.
He will not make the choice for you, nor can anyone else make the choice for you. Just tell me what to do. Tell me what to do. Make the choice for me. Nor can you live off someone else's choice. Everybody has to make a choice. Who are you going to serve? Are you going to accept Jesus Christ? It's your choice. He's waiting. He wants you, but you have to decide. All the way from I could go on for hours telling you the choices that he gave men and how many times men have blown it. But because Jesus made the perfect choice, we can choose Jesus, and by his grace and by his mercy, we can make it in.
Mm-hmm.
We can be forgiven. Will you choose to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Will you bow your knee before him as King of Kings and Lord of Lords? Will you choose to follow him in his ways? All of creation is waiting. What choice are you going to make? If you want to make that choice right now, just do it now. Do it now. He's right near you. He's seeing if you're going to reach out for him. Say, "Father, I want you. Jesus, I need you. I make a choice this moment. I make a choice at this moment that I want to make you the Lord of my life. I don't know how it's going to happen. I don't know, but I'm going to begin the journey. Jesus, I'm crying out to you. Father, I want to be with you. I see there's a way I could be in relationship with you through your son, Jesus Christ. And because of your choice to sacrifice him, Father, and because of Jesus' choice to be the sacrifice, I accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and my Savior. If you made that choice, let us know. Go to VFNTV.com and let us know. Also, if you need some help understanding or walking through this, go to meetmyfather.org. Meetmyfather.org. And it'll walk you through exactly what just happened and giving you biblical alignment with what's going on and bring you into the family of God. That's meetmyfather.org. What is today's proverb, the wisdom moment? Proverbs 19:21. Many are the plans in a man's heart, but it's the Lord's plans that prevail.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
I was just listening to Paul Keith Davis talking about, you know, how God said, he must have said to Lucifer, he says, hey, you took one of my best men when Stephen was stoned, and he's, I'm going to take one of yours. As a matter of fact, listen up to this. This is just awesome.
By about 35 AD, two years into the Pentecostal movement, Stephen is stoned. I actually had I saw that experience myself in a visionary encounter where I saw Stephen being stoned. I saw as Stephen was dying, he looked up into heaven just like the Bible says. And in my experience, the Lord stood up, as it says in the Bible, but he pointed his finger at the devil and said, that one is going to cost you. And it did. I saw this undeniable link between the stoning of Stephen and the reaping of Paul. The devil stole one of God's great men, so God stole one of his. Don't think for a minute that the Lord's going to let anything get away. And in my revelation, the Lord said the devil would have been better off leaving Stephen alone. But now he's got to deal with Paul. And Paul is still a thorn in his flesh. And everything Paul did for the kingdom, Stephen shared in the inheritance.
That is so awesome. I mean, think about it. Everything that Paul did in the kingdom that Stephen shared in his inheritance is a revelation that God had given him, Paul Keith Davis. And it's just so often you think, oh my goodness, they took this man or woman of God out. And you think, begin to pray for the one that took him out, understanding that God was going to meet Saul on the road to Damascus. He's like, okay, all right. You don't see the bright light you saw in Stephen's face. You're about to see on your road to Damascus. Mm-hmm. I mean, think about it.
Yeah.
And he took Saul. He didn't say, hey, let me tell you, Jesus saves. And if you want to make a decision for the Lord today, I got five fingers. This finger represents this, you know, all that kind of crazy stuff people do. He just said, boom.
Bam.
And Saul goes, Lord, Lord. And he's like, right. You know,
get on the right side.
And the organizer became the organized that day. Mm. And it's a powerful thing. But I love that, you know, Satan regretted the day that he ever took Stephen. And there's men and women of God that you, if you understand that, right, because Saul was so toxic that when he got saved, nobody wanted him but God. But he was the answer to everybody for God.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? And that's how toxic he was. He was such a, you know, he was too Christian to be sucked by the Jews and too Jewish to be sucked by the Christians and, you know, and all that. And here he was now having to go to a people and nobody wanted him at first because they were scared of him. Even the very man that was Ananias was going to pray for him.
You want me to go where?
You want me to go where?
And pray for who?
Are you crazy?
Come on now.
Well, I don't know if he said about the crazy part, yeah. But...
I'm sure he thought.
Wash me, Jesus. And think about that. That the fact is that look what God did with the very one that stoned Stephen. Over half of the New Testament was written by Paul. Let's begin to lift up our heads and realize God can save the hardest of sinners, the ones who are dogmatically set against him. That if we'll pray for those that are held captive by darkness, God can set them free on the road to Damascus while they're riding their horse. God can knock them off their horse and show them his awesomeness, and they will immediately give up their ability to organize and say, organize me.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I want to tell you today a key to success. A key to success. You know, so many people are looking at, and this is one of the keys to success. And everybody's trying so hard to be successful. And of course, when you talk to people, you start finding out their definition of success. But after a while, you think, you know, I just want to succeed. You know, I want to be successful in my business, in my marriage, in family, maybe business, whatever it is. And I'm looking at Proverbs in this wisdom moment of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 9. And he says, the word says, in his heart, a man plans his course, but the Lord determines his steps. And this, let's just pause there for a moment and realize, my goodness, you think about it. So many people are worried about writing the wrong plan, but they don't understand you can write all day long, but how it's going to turn out is how God wanted it to turn out.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
You know, and that, you know, Romans 8:28, that all things work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose. And so many people are scared to put a pen to the paper because they're thinking that their plan is going to overrule God's plan. But they don't realize once you write the plan, once you put down something you're going to do in your life, the next step is going to come because God allows it. And if it doesn't happen, then God's not allowing that particular step. Mm-hmm. And then he says in verse 3 and 4 of Proverbs 16, he says, commit to the Lord whatever you do, and your plans will succeed. Think about it. Commit to the Lord whatever you do, and then your plans will succeed. Think about that. Mm. Well, I mean, you understand that you're committing your plans to God, who's going to determine your steps, even though you write your plan, and realize that it's going to succeed. It will succeed in God. And this is what he says. He goes on to say in verse 4, like I said, the Lord works everything out to his own end, which is really cool because, you know, sometimes we may miss it and we're writing this thing out, but we can always know how it ends up. It's how God wanted it to end up.
Mm-hmm.
And it's pretty cool. You say, well, this must have messed up because, you know, Jesus said, let's go to Jerusalem and minister for a while. Next thing you know, he's nailed to a cross. And, you know, we're running for our lives. It was like something must have went wrong here.
Mm-hmm.
And the truth is that the Lord worked it out, the whole situation out, to his own end. He had his son offer it up as a sin offering for everyone who will accept his son as their Lord and Savior and the only way to God. It looked like it came to a terrible end, and it was terrible what happened on the cross, but they chose to do this. Jesus chose this because he loves you and loves the Father. God chose to sacrifice his only son so that you and I could be in relationship with him, but he knew that he would raise his son up from the grave 3 days later, but he is willing to put his son through this agony, all the consequences of our sin that ever was and ever will be on his son. And it looked like, hey, this thing's really messed up. And sometimes you're beginning to do things in your life and it looks like it's just utter run. How could this be this way? How could this work out this way? And you got to realize God's working things out to his own end. We're just characters in this huge theater playing our role that our Father has written for us under the empowerment of his Holy Spirit because of his son. And we shouldn't get so caught up in thinking how things turn out as much as did we obey? Did we do what we felt the Lord was calling us to do at the time we were called to do it? And realize that many are the plans in a man's heart, or a man plans the courses of his life, but it's the Lord determines his steps. And you can have confidence. Hey, the direction this thing's going, the direction my relationships are going, the direction this business is going, because I've dedicated it to God, it's going God's way. This is the way he wants it to go. And that confidence will release the Holy Spirit to do an awesome work in your life and in your ministry and in your marriage and in your relationships. Today's wisdom moments from Proverbs chapter 16, verse 3, 4, and 9. Commit to the Lord whatever you do, and your plans will succeed. The Lord works out everything to his own end. In his heart, a man plans his course, but the Lord determines his steps.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
It's just amazing what's taking place. But listen to this, the author of The Game Plan.
Yeah.
The Game Plan, which is Kevin Freeman. Kevin Freeman talking about, well, this is what we're believing for, is a third great awakening. A third great awakening in America, but this is the key to it. Listen up.
If we lose everything, it's okay as long as we know who's in charge and that we have each other.
That's right.
And that we know what's important. There's no doubt. Is there any doubt in your mind? If we know that, we win.
We not only win, but if we cry out to God, we repent of our hedonism and everything else, and we invite the Holy Spirit to come and move through this earth, we won't only win, we will overcome and be extraordinarily victorious. There'll be a massive revival. It would change the nature and the face of the world.
We are so excited about being able to encourage you, to be able to encourage you here on your journey. Think about it. Keeping the conversation light. That's what he commanded us. And that's one of the original words the Lord spoke over us is that, and he speaks over all of us, but in regards to why are we doing what we're doing, he says, because he said, go be the light of the world.
Mm-hmm.
You have to understand that in this dark world that it's dark. And so if we're light, if you're talking about the word of God and the ways of God, I mean, it may be rough at first because there's a lot of darkness.
Right.
But you're actually bringing light into that area.
Mm-hmm.
It makes me think of, you know, Rick Joyner and the vision mm-hmm. about that sword. And when you're waving the truth around the air, it just changes the atmosphere.
Right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
If you want to change your atmosphere, I want to encourage you, begin to listen. It's 24/7, 24/7 to VFN Radio. Go to VFNTV.com and find out all the ways that you can get us. You can watch us on Christian Television Network around the nation and around the world. But listen, you need in your workplace and your home. Just let it play and just let the light come in there. But why have all that prognostication and darkness constantly coming your way? Well, you know, when I was in the Navy back in 1812, you know, when we were putting the sails up in the Navy.
All right.
We can sell the five C's. You know, that's a graduate of the school system today. There's seven C's. And so I was stationed in Brooklyn.
Mm-hmm.
Give a shout out to our Brooklyn listeners there. And and of course, you don't have a lot of home cooking when you're in the they did cook a lot of food, but it just wasn't home cooking. But I found out because I'd ride a bus from Brooklyn Shipyard mm-hmm. and I would ride it to the subway and then I'd catch the subway over into Manhattan. I'd get out about 33rd Street, something like that, by the USO. And I'd walk over to the Avenue of Americas, I guess, because they had a restaurant there.
Mm-hmm.
Called Bojangles Chicken.
Mm.
Oh my goodness! I'd eat their chicken, okay, but their biscuits. Oh,
that's old school. Bojangles is old school. I don't even know if they're still around, but
they are because I was just coming back with Donna from our anniversary, and and we saw a Bojangles. That's why I'm talking about it.
Oh,
and it was still just good, and I'm like. I'm trying to convince Donna. Right?
Yeah, we need the car.
Let's go eat at this chicken joint.
Yeah, right.
She looks at me like, "What? No, this is Bojangles." And then finally, she conceded. You know, she's like, "Okay," you know. And we went there and we both enjoyed it. But anyway, so they cook their biscuits like with yeast, and they got this real fluffy, bready biscuit that's so good. So you know, I'm young. I'm in the Navy, and just wanted some of those biscuits, and so I go down there. And go out to catch buses and subways. And at that time, the streets weren't as safe as they are today
on
New York.
Safe.
Oh, believe me, it was a bit different than then. Anyway, so then I get to Bojangles and I order a whole box of biscuits. I'm at like six or eight biscuits. I'm just going to eat these biscuits, you know. That's back when I had a 28 waist. Look what biscuits do to you.
Right.
Anyway. Remind me to tell you about my doctor's visit. Anyway, so they give me this big box of biscuits. And at that time, there was a mansion that somebody had donated to the military.
Mm-hmm.
It was right there, I think, on the Avenue of Americas. And you could stay there for like $12.
Wow.
You know, but it was just like, you know, communal type, these big, huge, you know, a mansion in New York is huge as it is, you know, anything.
Yeah.
You know, but it had these huge, you know, 16-foot ceilings and this old libraries and these big, huge rooms. There's no doors on the place, you know, and it was on the different bedrooms and all that kind of stuff. But you had several different racks, old metal beds, you know, in there. But, you know, for going to the city, you could stay and survive, you know, stay in the city for like $12 or something. And so I ate all these biscuits. I ate all these biscuits, and I'm like, oh, man, they were so good. I enjoyed every one of them. And so then I go to the mansion, you know, eventually get to the mansion thing. And I go there, I give my $12 or whatever it was. And I go, and there's a rack in this room, a bed, and several of them. There's like a lot of different rooms in there. And you can hear hard floors. You can hear like things echoing in there. Uh-huh. And I was laying in this bed, John. I was laying in this bed, you know, as a young sailor. Mm-hmm. I'd eaten, I don't know, 8 biscuits. It could have been more than that.
Right.
And the yeast that they use in their biscuits rises, and then you eat it. But they didn't fully rise yet.
Oh, okay.
So I have these pound of biscuits.
Oh, my goodness.
In this young stomach, and all of a sudden, man, those biscuits began to rise.
Oh, no.
I know it, man. I'm sitting here in this huge, hollow-sounding, 16-foot, no-door, 15,000-rack, $12 night. And all you could hear was like, oh! They just kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. I'm like, I'm going to die.
Oh,
so you cannot say I can't empathize what it's like. To have a baby, because I think this thing was just growing bigger. I mean, it just got bigger. I'm thinking, it's not going to stop. I'm going to blow wide open. And so I just wanted to share with you.
Did they throw you out?
I got a chance to go to Bojangles Biscuits. But Bojangles Biscuits, Bojangles Chicken, when Don and I were coming back. And but I got good news for you. I had 2 pieces of chicken.
And how many biscuits?
And I had 1 biscuit.
Oh, wow.
That's wisdom, right?
It was good. It was good. It was good, but I know better than that now.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's LIGHT, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I want to talk about fear, because that's what was going on. This is what was going on there with anybody who's controlled by darkness. They control by fear and intimidation.
Yeah.
You know, I just need to know who's put my boot on, you know, that kind of fear. IRS threats. And what Kim was doing was trying to put fear in his people by killing 80 people in front of
10,000,
and broke it up in different sections so they could see it. What's happening right now with, despite the individuals not knowing this, it's happening with Pastor Saeed in Iran, is the enemies want to stir fear in the hearts of those who are in the light, that have a biblical worldview, that make Jesus Christ the Lord of their life. And the truth is, one president said it, and it's true. You have nothing to fear but fear itself. As a believer, you have to understand, fear is the opposite of the very thing that pleases God. You know, this is what he says. He says, faith without faith. This is Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. Without faith, it's impossible. It is impossible to please God.
That's right.
You know, I hear people talk about, we want to get together, you know, all these different faiths. I'm like, what are you talking about?
Right.
You know, and it's so many, that's like, and it's like, fear is the opposite of faith. Fear is there to be able to cause you to bow down to Lucifer in darkness and his threats against you, that his will come to pass in your life. That's what it's about. Mm-hmm. And, you know, some people say, and I just heard Kenneth Copeland say recently, and it's so true. He said, you know, he's a pilot, and he said people say they're afraid to fly. He says, you're not scared to fly. You're not afraid to fly. You're afraid to die.
Mm.
And you're not going to imagine what it's like trying to be a soldier on the front lines while people are trying to preserve their life.
Mm.
You know, it's like, what are you doing? We're all out here, you know, like fight. And the church is like, you know, it's like it's terrified. It's fearful of everything. All this stuff that's been created. And there's three basic fears, really. There's fear of death. I've never seen so many people who profess to believe in eternal life that no more tears, no more pain, golden streets, mansions, all the songs that the church sings. So terrified to go there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, right.
Terrified. Terrified and depressed when somebody does.
Right.
You know? Right. And then there's the fear of death. And then there's the fear of being harmed. You know, I don't want any harm to happen to me, harm to happen to my family, harm to happen to my whatever, just harm.
Right.
And fear of loss, you know, that I'm going to lose something. I mean, is that not the captivity of America right now? The American church.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't have time to read my Bible. I'm terrified that I'm going to lose my job. I got to get some sleep and watch some reality TV and take off.
Right.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And or if I read the word, I'm fearful that I'm going to have to change my life. I'm going to lose the sin I love doing. Mm. And there's three basic fears, but nobody wants to say. So you think about, it's like when you're riding with folks on an airplane and they're terrified, trying to watch how the pilot flies in the plane and how strong the wings are and all this kind of stuff. It's like, I thought you was tough. I thought you, and it was amazing. Those folks are very controlling and they want to be over everything. It's like, you're afraid. What you afraid of? Why are you afraid? What you want to live so hard for? You know, some people want to live so bad they never do.
Yeah.
They want to live so bad. Everything they do is about how to live. You know, I'm taking some supernatural vitamins and dipping my flesh in some sort of cream and I'm going to live forever. It's like, for what?
What are you doing?
What are you?
Yeah, right.
What? So you can watch one more program on your television program? What is it? So you can not read your Bible one more year? You know, so you could actually go to your whatever, you know, 15. What? You're not going to Korea to help them out. You're not going into the world to win the loss. You're not being the light of the world.
Right.
I mean, why do you want to live? I mean, I'm not saying don't live, but I'm asking you the question, you know, until you're ready to die for something, you're not ready to live for anything.
Mm-mm.
And the truth is, Jesus died for you so you could live for him. And the question is, are you willing to lay down your life for him? I mean, you got to get over this death thing. Believe me, people are probably miserable around you because you're so worried all the time about, that can hurt you. Oh my goodness, you know? And the second thing is fear of harm. You know, it might harm, you know, it might harm what we have. It might harm who I am. It might harm my reputation. You know, I mean, just all this fear, you know, and it's the same fear, but it's like, who's, he says, I'm sending you out like lambs amongst wolves. I mean, hello. I mean, that's the kind of a, and then he says, when you're arrested, I mean, come on, when you're arrested, and there's nobody that feels more secure, than a terrified idolatrous who claims to know Jesus Christ, who's never stepped out on the water ever in their life, criticizing you for everything you do, everything you've done for God. Why they themselves are secure, they think, behind their big wall of fear.
Wow.
It's crazy. It's crazy. And that's a religious spirit. We're not going to go there. But understand that, so the fear of harm, you know, I don't want, things are going good now. I don't want to harm the way things are going. You know, things are finally got to where I, you know, type thing.
Mm-hmm.
And the last is fear of loss. I think the greatest one you should have is the fear of the loss of your soul.
Mm.
You know, but the fear of loss. I mean, right now, I mean, and I've noticed that God will use this, the people who are trapped by darkness and fear. He will allow you to lose your nation. He will allow us to lose our job. He will allow us to lose our comfort and our convenience. He will allow us to get to understand, you know, quit fearing that and fear him.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and John Bevere, he said it. He said, you know, in his book, The Fear of the Lord, he says, you serve what you fear. If you fear God, you serve God. If you fear man, you serve man. But if you fear man, you don't serve God because you serve what you fear.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to take that one step further. The fact is that if you fear death, you serve death.
Mm.
You're terrified over this healthcare plan thing. I mean, just the fact that anybody in the world is talking about taking care of you, you should be happy.
Right.
But you're just terrified about dying.
Mm.
And it's like, relax. Look, people are talking about taking care of you. The argument is, what is the best way to take care of you? But yet you're still scared of death? Think about it. You're still scared of death. There was a day that people didn't live past 30. They didn't live past 40. I mean, you get a cut, you die, because they didn't understand how simple a thing like penicillin was around. And here you are, 175 years old. You know, you're like, no. It's just like, come on. You know, but what happens is you serve death. If you fear death, you serve death. Anytime anybody talks about you, or your doctor tells you, or if somebody, the enemy whispers in your ear, this will cost you your life, you stop. God tells you, I want you to go to North Korea. And you say, no. And then you give some logical explanation. But if you go down deep inside, you're hearing this voice going, I would die if I go to North Korea.
Right.
Kim Jong-un.
May not come back.
Kim Jong-un.
Yeah. Well, that's what's going on. And so you bow down to down to a spirit of fear. I mean, Rick Joyner talked about it in the vision that he wrote out in Final Quest, that two demons of fear were holding back thousands and thousands of Christians.
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
It's like, Jiminy, come on, fear crickets, right? And so then that means you're serving death. If every time, you know, you go to do something and the enemy says you're going to die if you do that, or you're just going to cost you your life, then that's who you're serving. You said no to God. You said yes to death. You said yes to life, that I will live outside of that. You, what you fear, that fear said you're just going to cost your life. The second thing is fear of harm. When all of a sudden God's calling you to do something or is telling you to do something, and then all of a sudden you go, this is going to harm me, and you don't do it, you just bow down and worship the fear, a spirit of fear. It just happened to come in the fear of harm. And the last but not least is fear of loss. What's it going to cost me? And as soon as the cost gets put on the table, whatever it is, physical or natural or financial, and you say no to God, you just serve fear. Either fear or faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God.
The $50 Eye Guy, where they have everything from wrecks to specs. If you want to visit them today, they're right across from Home Depot in Pensacola. Visit a $50 Eye Guy today so you can see. Cordova Lanes in Pensacola, not just your ordinary bowling alley, it's your community center that is perfect for family gatherings, school field trips, church socials, networking opportunities, and so much more. Come visit and strike with us today. Downtown Gracie Jiu-Jitsu, go visit Tony Baker. Listen, doesn't matter if you're in good shape, bad shape, he'll get you in the right shape. All the training you can get for self-defense in Pensacola. Visit him today at Downtown Gracie Jiu-Jitsu. Amazing Automotive, serving all of your automotive needs for over 30 years. Where their motto is, if it flies, floats, or rolls, we can work on it. On the corner of Hollywood and Marietta Boulevard. Come, bring your vehicle in today. We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information. Phone numbers, web addresses, emails, call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.
That's right, we have another way how you can stay connected with VFN Radio. It's called the Torch Newsletter. Every week, the Torch Newsletter goes out, And in the newsletter, you're going to get the best of the best of VFN Radio for that week. You're also going to get all the VFN Radio highlights emailed directly into your inbox. So whether you want to listen on your phone, whether you get your emails on your tablet, or whether you get it on your home PC, you will have access to that week's VFN Radio highlights. Go to VFNTV.com and select newsletter sign up, or text VFNTV at 22828. Again, text VFNTV at 22828 and type in your email address. Sign up for the Torch newsletter now.